This is Doug Miller. You know, not everything that Paul did was right. He was not a perfect man, but he was a saved man. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time. This side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, the book open before me, and we are privileged to be able to take this time to spend with you and to share with you this Word of the living God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We are in the 21st chapter of Acts. Paul has left Ephesus and is on his way to Jerusalem. And I think you will find this very profitable. Bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Acts 21. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. As far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we absolutely require, of course, the aid, assistance, power of the living God. And we need your support. Please pray for Dialogue. I keep saying this only because it's true. We cannot function without the prayers of the saints and the support of the people of God out there. We need you to tell people about us, and we would always love to hear from you. Always a privilege and a pleasure to get letters from our listeners and to be able to answer any questions you might have, to offer any assistance that we might offer. Everything absolutely free of charge, no strings attached, never were any, never gonna be any. We are here to help you in any way that we can. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email us, you can do that too. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page. You might wish to pull that down. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word and all small letters, .org, and you can go online and pull up the programs and listen to them and read about Dialogue. And I think you'll find that profitable if you wish to do that. If you wish to talk to me, telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's area code 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, and I will get back with you. Okay. Now, briefly, before we get into the Word of God here, you've heard me telling, and you will keep, I'll keep telling you this week after week, and you will hear spot announcements on this radio station about our upcoming conference. Please write down this date, put it on your calendars, and make plans to spend the day with us on May 12th. That is May 12th, which is coming up pretty quickly here, a couple of weeks. And we will have our annual dialogue conference at the Character Inn in downtown Oklahoma City. That's in the 500 block of West Main, just west of Walker. And it's absolutely free, costs nothing whatever. Just bring your Bible and show up. We will be ministering at that time on the subject, Is God Through with National Israel? So we hope to see as many of you there as would like to come along. I will give you more details about this as we go along. And once again, we just hope to see you there. Now, let's see. Acts 21. When we left Paul the last time, we saw him meeting with the elders at Ephesus. He met them in Miletus, and he told them, I am not coming back this way anymore. And he even said at this time, we saw this back in chapter 20 as well, I'm going bound to Jerusalem. I do not know what will befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, Paul knew that these were coming. But the warnings that he gets, as we shall see in chapter 21, are more direct and clearer than he could ever have imagined, perhaps. I don't know how many of you out there are laboring along under the assumption that everything Paul did was right. Probably none of you. I mean, you understand that this man was a human, that he was flawed, that he was a sinner. He himself said he was the chief of sinners. That's how he characterized himself, and that's more than just his characterizing himself in that way. That's the Holy Spirit. This is the written word of God, the chief of sinners. Now, we know that many things Paul did was right. He certainly, to the extent that he was writing what would become New Testament scripture, he was right in that because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But not all of his actions were right, and I think we are going to see in Acts 21 rather clearly that Paul did not always do what he was told to do. I don't want to offend or upset any of you unduly, but nevertheless, I think we're going to see that rather clearly. Paul has already said, as I just showed you back in Acts 20, verse 22, 23, 24, that he'd been warned by the Holy Spirit what was waiting him in Jerusalem. He is bound and determined to go to Jerusalem. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 1 of chapter 21, it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. All right, so far so good. They're on the ship, they're underway. Look at what we have in verse 4 and ask yourself, what's going on here anyway? Finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, I feel moved to ask the question. If this was said to Paul through the Spirit, and the word here is clear, Paul, do not go up to Jerusalem. Paul, do not go up to Jerusalem. Now, to me, that's about as clear as God could make it. And what we have here in verse 4, this is the Spirit. And I have no reason to believe that this is anyone other than the Holy Spirit speaking and warning Paul. And it's more than just a warning. Paul talked about the warning that he had back earlier in chapter 20. This, to me, as I read it here, is a direct command and imperative. Do not go up to Jerusalem. Now, with that in mind, I can only say that Paul at this point must be in some kind of disobedience. Now, I know that not everyone's going to agree with me on this. I am a great champion of Paul. I love the man. I love what he did. I am one of those, you've probably heard me say on here before, I'm one of those that I hope the rest of my life I will stick to Paul like glue. I hope all of you do. You cannot go wrong in reading the Apostle Paul, in following what he said to do. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he is the one that brought us church truth and the truths about salvation during this dispensation we are living in. He brought them to us clearer than anyone. Paul is the one who was abandoned, if you will recall. All they that be in Asia are turned against me, he wrote to Timothy in the second letter. Demas forsook him. All turned against him. I stood all by myself, he said. Well, I hope that I'm one of those who would not have turned against him, and I'm not against him now. But on the other hand, I think I can read what the word here says. Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. Well, let's read on and see what Paul does. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken one leave one of another, and when we had taken our leave, rather, one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when, verse 7, we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, what do we have here? Where's Paul heading? He's heading for Jerusalem. The warning given to him back in verse 4 apparently had no effect on him at all. He is bound and determined to go to Jerusalem. And if you say, well, it must have been the Lord's will for him. The Lord certainly used him. Yeah, the Lord used him all right. But let me tell you something. It's kind of like sometimes the Lord has used me in spite of myself when I've been disobedient. The Lord can make even the wrath of man to praise him. God told Jonah, you go to Nineveh, and Jonah headed out for Tarshish. And, of course, did God use Jonah? Yeah, he used him. In that disobedience, Jonah's being swallowed by the whale became the type, the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very thing that Jesus himself cited as an example of his death, burial, and resurrection. We wouldn't have that picture if Jonah had been obedient. That does not mean, however, that Jonah was in the will of God when he didn't go to Nineveh but went to Tarshish, or tried to go to Tarshish anyway. Now, this is one of those things that, you know, we can argue from now on. The fact is that men don't always do what God tells them, and godly men don't always do what God tells them to do. But even godly men who are in error can repent and give that over to the Lord, and the Lord can use it. I do not advise any of you to go out and rebel against the Lord, saying, oh, well, the Lord can use it anyway. Please don't do that. The Lord did use Paul. But Paul is clearly here, as far as I can tell, he is clearly going against what the Lord has instructed him to do. Now, He is in Caesarea with Philip the Evangelist, and we know Philip, Luke tells us here he was one of the seven. One of the seven what? Well, one of the seven deacons that was ordained in the church in Jerusalem back in the sixth chapter of Acts, along with Stephen. Philip was one of these. Philip is the only, he is the one and the only person that I know of, certainly in the book of Acts, and I think perhaps in all of Scripture, who is called an evangelist. I don't know of any other person. I could be wrong on this one, but I certainly can't think of one right offhand. I can't come up with one who is ever called the evangelist. That's a good title to have, isn't it? The evangelist. Well, we've seen Philip at work, too. We saw him in Samaria, and we saw him with the Ethiopian eunuch. He was an evangelist. He was a man out preaching the gospel, wasn't he? And when he preached, people got saved. He was a man bearing the good news. Well, right now he's in Caesarea with his four daughters who were prophets, and he has a home there, and Paul and his company enter in. Now let's see what happens. Verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Once again, about as clear a warning as anyone could have. Now, you might say, and some might say, well, yeah, Agabus warned him, but he didn't tell him not to go. No, Agabus didn't tell him not to go, but we have these others back in verse 4 that certainly, by the Holy Spirit, told him not to go. And this is just another warning. This is what's going to happen to you, Paul. Do not go to Jerusalem. Now, we might speculate endlessly about what would have happened if Paul had not gone to Jerusalem. And the answer, of course, is we don't know, do we? I have no idea what would have happened. I don't know what God would have done with him. I don't know where God would have sent him. I know this, that God clearly directed the Apostle Paul earlier on many things that he did. Think of the vision that Paul had of the Macedonian back in Acts 16, come over and help us. Here we have God warning Paul not to do something. Paul does it anyway. Let's read on. When we, verse 12, heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, I am ready to die. Okay, that's very commendable, Paul. But I hope you're not ready to commit suicide. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Paul was more than willing to give his life for the Lord. But you don't want to give your life for the Lord if the Lord's not telling you to give your life. This idea of I will stick my head in the noose and defy the odds, or I don't know exactly what's going on here. But I do know this. It is clear enough to me from what we have in this chapter and what we've read so far, that God is not telling Paul to go up to Jerusalem and die. What he is telling him to do, and what he has repeatedly told him to do, is to not go to Jerusalem. But Paul's going anyway. He has got his mind made up. And in verse 14 we read, And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now, once again, friends, I think the Lord has expressed his will. I think the Lord has expressed his will very clearly. And I am also sure, once again, that there will be those of you out there who will disagree with me. I don't know on what basis you would disagree with me, though, because the word here is, I think, rather clear. to anyone who wishes to read it. The will of the Lord be done is an interesting thing to say when, once again, the Lord has pretty well expressed his will. Now, let me say this to all of you in closing, because we're about to run out of time here. Let me say this to you. Those of you who are listening to me and who are really, sincerely, genuinely seeking the Lord's will for your life, and I hope that's all of you. It's easy to say, thy will be done, thy will be done, and then to go and do things that are patently and manifestly not his will. We can all do that, can't we? I know I've done it before. But here is an individual, the Apostle Paul, who has his will. He has it in his heart to do a certain thing, and he cannot be turned from it. And he is warned and warned repeatedly. And I think we're going to find that once he gets up to Jerusalem, he's going to do some other things that I don't know exactly why he is doing them. Now, we'll see this next week. But right now, there is this to be said by way of repeating and kind of wrapping things up. Paul had it in his mind to go to Jerusalem. We saw it last, you know, way back in the 20th chapter and even before, he had made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. That was in his head. We saw again repeatedly the Holy Spirit through prophets and others testifying and warning him not to go up there. And what do we see? Paul will not be turned aside. He's going up. Now, there's something to be said about this that we all need to know and to see. We cannot, we dare not take men like Paul, Peter, these saints of old, and put them on pedestals where they really don't belong. We thank God for them. We certainly rejoice that the Lord ever sent them. We rejoice for the things they did that were right and good. But we can also see the things that they did that weren't so right and weren't so good. And I think we see the human failing here of a very good and godly and wonderful man. Anyone, and I mean anyone, needs to be careful. Paul himself wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, in that chapter, "Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." It's something we all have to guard against. If someone like the Apostle Paul can be led astray, can get things in his head and refuse to be turned around and refuse to be obedient, what does that say to me about myself? Well, I'll tell you what it says. It says that I need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading and walking with him all the time to keep myself from serious error. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.